Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to Malby on the Spot, your weekly chance, thanks to Anfield Index Pro, to hear the wit and wisdom of Mr. Jan Malby. So why delay him from years anymore? Good evening, Jan.
Good evening, Trevor. I hope you're well.
I am. I think it's been a very sobering little stint since we last spoke, when there was still hope, and the wheels have very much completely fallen off in terms of any aspirations we have left for the season. It was disappointing to go out in the way that we did in Europe, but to see the wheels fall off so spectacularly in the league form, I think actually did genuinely take people by surprise. People were probably not expecting it to be a cakewalk, but to see the collapse of the hope, I think, is the worst part of it. That it's not still even partially alive, that it's just... it was wiped out in a short period of time over a consistently awful run of games. The writing was on the wall, Jan, if we're being honest. The writing was on the wall. You could see the performances weren't where they needed to be. It's very easy, I think, to do with Jamie Carragher and talk about how this team were never going to challenge for the league, because patently that's nonsense, because we were challenging for the league till the very death. It's easy to say this team never had enough quality about it to be champions. It did, and it still does. And what happened was the performances fell away. It's very disappointing to witness that. I wonder, do you have a theory about why it happened?
So the first thing, when you mentioned Carrigan and all, it's clickbait, isn't it, Trevor? I mean, it winds me up, isn't it? You know, everybody's talking in headlines and it's almost borderline lazy journalism, isn't it? I think if you look at our quality compared to Arsenal and Manchester City, in a number of positions, we have less quality. But that doesn't mean that you can't find a way of being involved. And we found a way of being involved for a long, long time. Over the last couple of months, I think it's fair to say we can only put our hand on one truly great performance, which was the second half against Manchester City. apart from that, it has been a little bit up and down. And can you explain that away by going, we lacked a bit of quality? It's tricky, isn't it? Because I always hate these overreactions to what's happened to our season. Now, I hate that overreaction. You know, I think it's way over the top. I mean, I saw somebody maybe a week ago summing it all up, and he was quite prepared to keep 7 players. You know, the rest simply had to go. And I'm not talking about, you know, some guy in the street. I'm talking about some guy who's, you know, feasible. He's probably got his own huge, whatever it is. And he comes to the conclusion that he would keep 7, which would then mean we would need 18 new players, Trevor, and you know, start. Yeah, but it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
What he needs is key signings and key positions, and it's been proven before. And I still think some of the most impressive signing I've ever seen was Sir Alex Ferguson his last season at Manchester United, when he had a team that couldn't win the league, and he went and ran and signed Robin van Persie. Robin van Persie always had a chip on his shoulder, thought he was better than what he was, and Fergie went, listen, I'm going to give you the stage now, show me how good you are. So Robin went to Manchester United, had one good season, but won in the league, because Fergie knew he could motivate him for the season. And then Robin would go, look how good I am, but he couldn't maintain it, you know. So we're in a similar position in that we just need to sign the right players in the right place. And I know people say, yeah, well, that's easy, isn't it? But then that lifts, we've often spoken about how people lift each other, isn't it? You know, the different levels you're at, how people get lifted by teammates, isn't it? So I am not as negative as some of the other people are. I have, however, never been as convinced that we've solved our midfield problem as other people have. I have just never been 100%. If I look at Arsenal and Manchester City in the number 6 position, Rodri for Manchester City, Arsenal have 2 and Declan Rice and Thomas Partey, who's back now, isn't it? We don't match up to that, you know. And I still think it's a key position to our business. So it's all very good. And Shobersly has been ever so inconsistent for a long, long time now, isn't it? But it's a bit like you stick somebody in there who can do that job. What's everything around you blossom? You know, we saw with Fabinho when he came in and found his feet, isn't it? You know, and for some people, it's difficult to see what it is. Well, what does he do? Never mind what he does, you know. Just watch what the impact he has on everything around him, isn't it? So little positions in a centre-half is up for debate again. You know, a lot of people now saying that Kwanzaa is not good enough. I refuse to believe that. You know, I still like the boy. I know he's been involved in a couple of mistakes. I mean, Christ almighty, who's played centre-half and not made a mistake? So it's all part of this. So I'm nowhere near as gloomy as a lot of other people. I think it can be rectified. And obviously, I put a lot of hope on Michael Edwards. You know, Michael Edwards was the boy in town last time he was around. If you look at the signings after he's left, it's been a bit hit and miss. If he can go back to, you know, let's not forget, he was also part of signing Bobby Firmino. And when Brendan Rodgers said he's not good enough, Michael Edwards went to the board and went, I am telling you, you know, there's nothing wrong with these players. And he was proved right, wasn't he? So he needs to do that again for us.
He does. The new era and the new structure is going to be massively important. And obviously we want to talk about the new manager as well. And Trevor, potentially, yes.
The new head coach.
The new head coach, pardon me. The new head coach, yeah. Which in and of itself, of course, is an interesting concept. And the changes that will bring to the playing squad and the playing style and all the rest of it. And we will do that. But there is still a partial season remaining. There are 3 games left to play. I wonder, when you look ahead to them, I mean, there was always the danger that if we fell out of contention, that you were looking at limping towards the end of a season with a manager whose opinion of you is now irrelevant, with the best will in the world. That's the reality of it. And so that was always going to be a possibility. But I think most of us believed that we'd probably get to the last week or two with it in contention. I don't think anyone, Jan, foresaw just how awful the results have been in recent weeks. And it's It's so crushingly disappointing. And you can talk about injuries all you like, but it just happens to coincide with us getting several players back. And the one thing that was consistent across all of the bad results in recent weeks, the period in which we haven't actually spoken, has seen the two worst results. Obviously, the United Cup game was the beginning of the end in many ways. But what really has been common across them all is there isn't what fans hang on to as that real desire and heart that we've been so familiar with as Liverpool fans under Klopp. To go and do something about it. You can talk about huffing and puffing as much as you like, but in the second half against Atalanta, we managed a single effort on goal when we needed to make up goal difference. That's kind of unforgivable. We've had a few 20-something shot performances in the meantime, but again, does it matter a damn if the whole team doesn't appear to be on it? And you could pick out anyone you like. You could pick out our superstars. You could pick out Virgil. You could pick out Mo. You could pick out anyone. You mentioned Domsa Bosley, whose form has fallen off a cliff. And you could say that they haven't been up to it. Darwin Nunez became the scapegoat after a story was sort of, I think, mischievously linked to the press about how he wasn't really a Klopp player. And of course, that brings with it all it brings with it, and all the crazies come out to play and all the clickbait merchants come out to play. But the thing that I've seen, Jan, with my own eyes, is that it just seemed as if we didn't have it, that untangible thing, that or intangible thing, that kind of passion, desire, drive, belief, whatever it is that we have so associated with Klopp teams and had done actually all this season up to a point. It just seems like that bubble burst, and that's hard to take because there are still so many great players there, but almost as we were getting great players back, the results started falling to pieces. I can't come up with anything aside from that it was some sort of emotional sort of exhaustion with it all. That's the best I have to offer. Can you see anything tangible that I'm missing?
No, probably not, Trevor. I mean, what you won't get me to say is that because we didn't say when Klopp decided or made it public that he was leaving, that we didn't say at the time then, I don't like the timing of it all, it's too early. We felt that it would act as a motivation. So I'm not going to go back on that and try and be clever in hindsight and go, well, you know, it was bound to have an effect because I didn't say it at the time. The one thing I was thinking of, Trevor, and, you know, coming from a player's view is that it's very, very difficult to find players that can be at it all season. You know, there's only so very few of those players. And that's why we always talk about the great players. And we go, look at them. And Mo Salah falls into that, yeah? I mean, look at Mo Salah's. Take away the stats in terms of goals and assists, yeah? And just purely look at available minutes, the minutes that he plays, you know, all these things. And they're part of what you buy. But there's only so very few of them, isn't there? And that's the one thing I'm looking at these players. You know, even McAllister, I'm looking at him and I'm going, over 60 games, would he be at it? Over 60 games to the level of a Henderson when he was at his peak, a Fabinho, Wijnaldum or whatever. I think he's a better footballer than all three of them. But would he be able to be at it at the level required for 60 games if we run into a 60-game season? I'm not sure. So I think that's where we have the problem, is that those players, the durability of not just being able to play, but being able to maintain a standard, isn't it? You know, as much as we, you know, Jordan Henderson was maligned a lot during his time at Liverpool, isn't it? But there was always something about Jordan, wasn't it? You know, whether that was the first game of the season or the last game of the season. So I'm looking and I'm thinking, Trevor, if you start going through our squad, and it's not criticism of them, of their ability as a footballer, but it's a criticism of other things that not everybody has, you know. And that's why I always come back to great players are great players for a reason. Obviously because of ability and technique and whatever it is, but they're also great players because of other things that they bring, isn't it? And they bring that every week. And if you're lucky enough to play with them, you also notice that they bring it every day. You know, it's in their little rucksack, isn't it? You know, what they bring. And I look at these players, and it's not just Liverpool, rather, you know. I mean, look at Spurs. You know, it's another team, isn't it? Doing ever so well, and they've fallen off a cliff a little bit. But that's because, and let me just name one player first, James Maddison. You think James Maddison could maintain his levels for 55 games a season? Not a hope in hell, you know. Mm. Great player on his day, isn't it? But he can't. So going back to my day, Trevor, I think we've discussed this before. Two of the finest players during my time, the finest players, Matt Letizia and Paul Gascoigne. Could they have played for Liverpool? Not in a million years. They wouldn't have been able to do it. Not in a million years, Trevor. I can't explain what it is. You know, I don't know what it is that makes you go. But I think the majority of it would obviously come from, you know, from within. You know, so I think that's where we fall down. And I think that what's been pushed to the forefront now, because we changed players and maybe some of the players dropped a little bit, is that maybe the next set of leaders, maybe they don't have it either, you know.
Mm, that's a worry, isn't it? And I think that's pretty much, we're kind of landing on roughly the same part of the helipad here, in terms of we're both coming back to mentality, which is interesting. And I think we probably had a group that were given an exaggerated sense of their own ability and all the rest of it, through that emotion of wanting to do it for the boss and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, it ends when it ends and you can't get that back. It's going to be very interesting to see how the new man molds the guys that are there and changes things around by bringing in new recruits. And as we know, he will have a say absolutely in those new recruits, but he won't have Klopp-esque style of power. It will be very much this new regime where Michael Edwards is the man making those kind of calls. And it's a very interesting thing to talk about. In fact, I kind of wouldn't mind spinning towards that, because we can look ahead to the Liverpool games that are to come, and we will just briefly by way of talking about who we have and who we'd like to see play and stuff like that. But really, I mean, at this stage, unless I'm mistaken, Jan, I think Champions League is all but guaranteed. So what else is there really for us in terms of a target? I hope that doesn't sound overly defeatist, but I get it very hard to get too excited now at this stage about the push for second. Do you? I mean, I don't see any great excitement in that for me. It seems to be nailed on that the other two will be involved in this dogfight and push themselves and each other to the death. So it looks like we will finish, if not a distant third, then very much third. Is that how you see it? Or do you have like an iota of belief that something mad could happen? Because I can't. I'm not going to pretend to you, man.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
I'm not sure how many countries we have this in, Trevor, but it's one of the things I like about England is that there's a medal for the winners.
Yes.
But there's nothing for second and third. You know, second and third is for the Olympic Games. You get a medal, whatever. But we have it in Denmark. You know, we have gold, silver, and bronze, and it's quite a big thing, isn't it? And it's one of the things I like, isn't it? So, yeah, I'm a bit like you, but I'm confused in what we can hope to achieve or what we want to have a look at before the end of the season. One of my neighbours, who's who's a season ticket holder at Anfield, and he said he just has one fear. He remembers Steven Gerrard's last two games for Liverpool, a 6-1 defeat at Stoke and a 3-1 defeat at Anfield against Crystal Palace. And he said,
he said,
we couldn't do that to Klopp, could we? You know, and I said, I sincerely hope not. No, absolutely not. And in terms of players, I don't think it'll have a great impact because Arne will obviously have his very much his own ideas. There is people who are now going, well, let's try and give some more of the young players a chance. What do we gain by that, Trevor? I'm not sure we gain anything by that. So I think it's really about protecting also the integrity of the Premier League, but also the integrity of Liverpool Football Club, isn't it? It's like, you know, we're competitive. We always give it everything we've got. We want to do as well as possible, isn't it? So I want Klopp to pick his strongest team in the last three games and get it done. I believe the next game we've got Spurs is a nice game because of the way that they play. That'll be open end to end. And then obviously we got a horrible away game at Villa because, you know, they're not one of the games you particularly want to be playing when you've got nothing to play for and they're up for it, aren't they? And then we finish with Wolves, which is just going to be a party beyond probably the wildest party you've seen anyway, Travis. Because I think on that day, regardless of the way that the season is panned out, I think people will just turn up and go, this is about something totally different, isn't it? I have to be honest, let's just get it over with, Trevor, isn't it? And it was the same when I played, you know, when you get to that stage where, okay, now nothing is possible. You go, let's fucking bin it, you know. You can't, you know what I mean? But so at least the players have something. Because also in our day when there was nothing to play for, the crowd went a bit quiet, you know. I don't think the crowd will now, you know, because these last two games, they're at home, certainly they will. They'll feel a responsibility, won't they? And it's an opportunity, isn't it? You know, to let the big man know, you know, regardless of what, isn't it? And, you know, I hear people saying, has he won enough? I don't know, what does that mean? You know, he's given us everything we could have wished for, hasn't he, Trevor? You know, he's given us everything we could have wished for.
Yeah, I'm probably one of those horrible, annoying humans who wants to harp on about the fact that we should probably have more trophies. The way I always explain it, Jan, is that, you know, statistics and being the best attacking team in Europe for X amount of time, or having the longest winning run, whatever that wonderful streak we put together was, or records at home, or none of those things, especially when it comes to the more nerdy stuff like, well, we're the best run club in the world, or have you seen the balance sheet, or you know, our recruitment has gone through the roof. Okay. These are all wonderful things. They don't keep me warm at night. You know what I mean? Mm. Trophies do. And I just feel that it's ending very much with a little bit of a whimper. I don't want to be that guy. You know how much I admire Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. I think we've both talked about it, but it feels, doesn't it? A little bit like I think we have to be honest. There's only so much we can hide behind the Manchester City 115 charges. Yeah. Petrol money, etc., etc. It feels like there should be more to put beside this era. Now that it's coming to an end, it feels kind of overwhelmingly sad to me that there's not more. That's where I'm going with it.
I fully understand, and I think we all have it. You know, I look back at the most successful period I had, which was my first 6 years at Liverpool, and I go, I can't believe we didn't win more than what we won. We won three titles and two FA Cups, and I can't believe we didn't win four doubles. You know, and so I think it's a good thing to have that. But I do agree with, you know, we have hidden a little bit behind the Manchester City sort of thing, isn't it? And, you know, one trophy you forgot to mention was a net spent trophy, isn't it? You know, that's been important for a lot of Liverpool fans, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's another one, isn't it? That what exactly does that mean? I'm not really interested because today it's about money available, isn't it? How much can you give to the manager? What is your budget? And that's more or less where you spend, but that's more or less where you finish, isn't it? So, Yeah, it is a little bit. It is a little bit sad, Trev. I have to say, I was in Dortmund last night for the Dortmund. Who did they play? PSG.
PSG. Yeah.
And it always makes me remind me of, you know, of Liverpool, obviously because of the song and because of Klopp and, you know, whatever, isn't it? Because that's, yeah, Dortmund would be as close to Klopp as Liverpool is, isn't it? You know what I mean? So they always sat there and, you know, talking to a few people. And they have a massive dream, don't they? That one day he's going to walk back in some capacity. They just said, I hope you've looked after him. I said, yeah, we've looked after him. I said, yeah, oh, absolutely. We treated him well, but he's also treated as well, isn't he? And they say, how will you remember him? I said, well, it'll probably be more like, because what you mentioned, in terms of the trophies, it'll be difficult to mention him based on trophies because he doesn't match up to the most successful managers we've had. So he more becomes like human things, one of human touches and, you know, the way that he got the city from the first day, the way he got the football club and his role in the community. It'll be more things like that you'll remember, isn't it? You know, and one thing I said is that I obviously travel to a lot of games and a lot of people say to me, Trevor, they say, you know, I'm not a Liverpool fan, but sometimes I just wish we had Klopp as our manager, you know. And I think that's kind of sums him up, doesn't it? So, and it won't be like, you know, Shankly when he left in 1974. We still did Shankly things up till 1991. So he left a whole different legacy. You know, why are we still doing this? Oh, well, we started this in 1959 with Shankly. That won't be the case. Next year, he won't be doing any Klopp things, you know, because Arne Slot will come in and change everything. And Klopp is not credited with the training ground, you know, whereas Bill Shankly was credited with designing the training ground and all things. So it'd be a different legacy, wouldn't it? You know, because football moves on, you know. We did hot and cold bats. Why do we do that? Well, Bill Shankly said it's good, you know what I mean? You can't eat bread rolls. Why can't we eat bread rolls? But Bill didn't think bread was good for you, you know what I mean? Why is there a bag of sugar in the tea? Get energy from sugar. Really? I didn't realize that. You know what I mean? Bill said so, you know what I mean? So, you know. So Klopp won't have that kind of legacy, will he? You know, there won't be a visible legacy. You know, you won't visit the training ground and people go, oh, well, this is where Klopp did, wherever, you know, which we had at Anfield until we changed the men's hand. Shankly, this was Shankly's boot room. This was, you know, Shankly put up the sign. You know what I mean? So Klopp's legacy is going to be something different, and it's going to be more of it on a human side, I think. You know what I mean? People have met him. People have been influenced by him. People have been inspired by him. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I think that's all
our friends in Dortmund.
I think that's absolutely fair. I think it's amazing that they're thinking of a reality where he walks back through the door. That's amazing. That would never have crossed my mind that they would even have that hope. But you're right. Because, look, nearly men we may have been, but the fact that we were nearly men to some of the highest achieving teams ever suggests what it was, which is that we have been a wonderful team under Jurgen Klopp. And we've had huge amounts of fun in terms of being able to follow this great team, watching great footballers doing great stuff. It has been remarkable. And you know, when you get away from the little bottom line thing about trophies, it has been an incredible era. And you could say he had a Shankly-esque sort of impact on the culture of the club in different ways as well. I mean, it famously, since Jurgen's been at the club, we have this signing policy, which has been shortened to the no dickhead policy. Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, as legacies to leave behind go, that's a pretty good one right there. I mean, because it means you're going to have a united group all the time, and it's not going to be as fractious as it could otherwise be. So, look, there's so much to value about the guy. And at the end of the season,
Manchester United selling everybody, including Bruno Fernandes. You don't want Bruno?
Yeah, well, I forgot all about the shit stories going on at United. We will get back to United via Eric Ten Hag in a second. But I think it's important. We'll do a retrospective on Klopp when it's over. And you're right, the last game of the season, I mean, it won't have quite the same feel to it now in terms of being able to celebrate something. But I think most people will have gotten over themselves by then, and it will be a big belter of a party. That's exactly the kind of party I think Jurgen should have. I was just kind of joking with the lads. Didn't want to hear about a parade or anything like that. It needed to be just a party. Everybody in the city goes out. Everybody starts hugging each other, telling stories, singing songs, and we all wake up in a fucking skip somewhere. That's the kind of party it should be. That's the kind of madness that it's been under Klopp. Really great, enjoyable madness, I think, is a good way of thinking about it. I wonder, when we look ahead to, seems to be the heir apparent, no official thing yet, but like it's all but done, and the guy himself is talking about it, and it's Mr. Arne Slot. Or Slot, rather, I should say. It's not a SH, Dutch SH thing. He is the guy who's going to be coming in. I think an awful lot of people, myself included, were quite underwhelmed by the news because we weren't familiar with the guy himself and what he's done. And I've been trying to do a little bit of research and find a few things out. And there are a few interesting things. Like I said to you before the mics went live, I hadn't been aware in my ignorance that he was tapped up by Spurs ahead of their appointment of Ange Postecoglou. They wanted him first. I hadn't been aware that Leeds had wanted him. When I looked into it, I see that he had AZ Alkmaar level on points with Ajax, maybe slightly better goal difference, something like that, going into the season that got called off because of COVID, which is, you know, quite remarkable because not exactly a fashionable club. And then what he's done with Feyenoord, I think it's one league in or two leagues in 20 years or something like that. Again, it's a remarkable achievement and it's worthy of praise. He's got a cup there as well. These are all things you look at. And when I was looking at potential candidates, Amorim, because he had two leagues against two more prestigious clubs, I thought, well, that's great because it really parallels, say, what Jurgen did. It parallels what Rafa did. It bodes well, was my take. But we've all got to get used to the fact now that it's going to be Arne Slot. And he looks like being a guy who could potentially be viewed as almost like a continuity choice, Jan, in terms of a guy who's going to be very, very happy to have this obvious promotion in terms of his own status, who plays similar-ish football. And, you know, in that I believe he likes pressing. I believe that there's similar aspects to the way that he sets up his team. And so it seems like a sensible appointment. Another thing I learned was that there's a link to Billy Beane, who had been the guy who famously was the Moneyball guy that everyone's seen the film with Brad Pitt and John Henry's cameo at the end, where he comes in trying to tap him up and get him to go to them. But anyway, Red Sox go on and employ his methods, but never get Billy Beane. Billy Beane gets involved with AZ Alkmaar. Billy Beane apparently tried to buy into Liverpool recently. I didn't realize that even. And he, it turns out, is probably likely to have been one of the big voices who was talking to John Henry and recommending Arne Slot. So it's very interesting. It kind of feels a bit full circle. And these little things, I don't know, have helped me a little bit when you think about the fact that it's going to be in this new structure with Michael Edwards, who has a track record of success. They've all comforted me a little bit. It makes it feel less random. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. I mean, I think we started to realize, didn't we, that it was going to be a left field appointment. You know, when we started to hear that Ruben Amorim maybe was no longer the first choice and he was going to have an interview with West Ham, which was really bizarre, wasn't it? And you thought, well, he's got to be out of the running, hasn't he? And then you kind of start to look around. And I started to look around, and obviously Arne Slot was one of them. And strangely enough, I was at Stamford Bridge when Chelsea played Manchester United on a Thursday night. And I stood next to our Dutch colleague and I just said to him, I said, what about the boy Arne Slot? And he went, Liverpool should get him. He said, he's the next big thing. In Holland, sort of modern-day coaches, the two biggest names are Gus Hiddink and Louis van Gaal. And he said, this boy, he's got the potential of being better than both of them. Now, Gus Hiddink was one of those, all the players who ever played for Gus always said that Gus had an incredible feeling. He always felt what was needed, whereas Louis van Gaal was a really good technical coach. But they think this boy's got the potential of outdoing them all. And then I said, you know, Feyenoord, to the Premier League, to Liverpool? What do you think? He said, no, he has the personality. He speaks much better English than Erik ten Hag. He's got a much better sort of understanding, better sense of humour. He said he's not as forthright. He said I'm 100%. He said, I know he's been doing some work with two of Holland's biggest players ever, Markov and Basten and Ruth Holland. And they both said, wow, you know, this guy's for real. And then you add everything else into it, all the things that we can kind of see ourselves, how he plays. But you can go on YouTube, can't you, and have a look at how Feyenoord plays. And it's intense pressing, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's playing forward, you know, it's being direct, isn't it? So yeah, all that looks good. So the one worry you have, Trevor, is Eredivisie to Premier League. We saw it with Ten Hag. I also think that we've seen it quite a bit with Dutch coaches generally. You know, every year you almost feel that there's somebody who's either at Ajax or PSV who's pulling up trees, and everybody goes, wow, he's going to be the next big thing, isn't it? And very few of them have travelled well, I have to say, you know, so it'll be interesting. But I am looking forward to it. I'm absolutely looking forward to it because he will give us something. You know, the one thing I worry about, Trevor, is that power we had at Anfield, I feel a lot of that came from Klopp. You know, we were unbeatable, weren't we? You know, the record at Anfield is just scary. And that's the only thing. You know, I don't worry about his overall coaching and whatever, but whether he can get that power involved, you know, where we just overpowered teams and won games. And, you know, I don't know whether he's capable of that, whether he has the personality to do a similar thing. You know what I mean? But yeah, interesting. Great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm absolutely looking forward to it.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today. Sports Social Podcast Network.